Pol Pot's genocide in Cambodia will never be forgotten. His killing field claimed 2 million, perhaps even 3 million, lives. After the collapse of his regime, Cambodia then suffered further through war and a 10-year occupation by Vietnam. Eventually, the peace plan for Cambodia, which was an initiative of Australia's then Foreign Minister Gareth Evans, turned things around for Cambodia. There was a UN-enforced ceasefire, disarmament, refugee repatriation, and eventually relatively free and fair elections with a 90% turnout. Tomorrow is the 20th anniversary of the first day of voting in those elections. And in Phnom Penh on that day 20 years ago, as an official election monitor, was Professor William Maley. William Maley is now director of the ANU's Asia Pacific College of Diplomacy, and he joins us now. William Maley, welcome back to Breakfast.
My pleasure.
William Maley, do you think the Cambodian peace process was one of the great achievements, not just of our region, but of our time? Is that overstating things?
No, I think it was a model for what could be attempted in other parts of the world if the circumstances seemed to be appropriate. And although its outcome in Cambodia itself proved to be equivocal, at least in terms of democratization, it nonetheless lubricated the process of Cambodia being reintegrated into the region, joining the Association of Southeast Asian Nations and providing opportunities for young Cambodians in particular to have a very different kind of life opportunity from that which was available either under the Khmer Rouge or during the period of Vietnamese occupation.
I'll come back to the model in a moment and what it's set for the rest of the world and in the time since. But take us back to those elections 20 years ago. What took place over that 5 days? What did you see?
Well, the most striking thing of all was that on the first morning of voting, and voting was spread over a number of days, the turnout in Phnom Penh and many other centres was simply enormous. When one went out at 6 a.m, already crowds had formed of voters in their best clothes, turning up to queue up to seize the opportunity to vote. And this was striking because there was enormous apprehension in the run-up to the vote about the possibility of attacks by spoilers on voters, which led many internationals to suspect that the initial turnout would be low, with people waiting to see what security was like on the first day before appearing to vote on the second or third. And yet the high turnout on the morning of the first day of the election, in a sense, overcame the fears and the problem of low turnout that many had feared, and a very large proportion of the electorate had actually voted by midday on the first day, and that legitimated the process as no other kind of event could have done.
It must have been so heartening, and it reminds me of what we saw in East Timor when the people turned up at the voting box and stood in long lines no matter the threats that had been made. But looking back, and you know, you were there at that time, people were frightened, and I'm sure they would have been emotional. How precarious was Cambodia, and what was its future without the UN intervention in these elections?
Well, Cambodia was in a very unenviable situation until the UNTAC mission was deployed in 1992. The Paris Accords of December 1991 had provided for the United Nations to come in as administering power to put in place a level playing field for an election, the difficulty being that one of the competitors in the election was the incumbent power holder, the Cambodian People's Party, which controlled the state of Cambodia. And it was that sense of imbalance or asymmetry on the ground which had led the other actors to be very sceptical of whether a free election could actually be held if the CPP was running the show. And the capacity for violence on the part of the different actors in Cambodia at the time, particularly both activists of the Cambodian People's Party and the Khmer Rouge in different parts of the country, had really killed off for a very long period of time the possibility of any kind of civic or civil politics. And in that sense, the arrival of the UN under the mandate given to it by the Security Council provided a whole set of new opportunities.
And Australia played a very big role in that, but perhaps, you know, the central role or the key role was that by then Foreign Minister Gareth Evans, who came up with what's called the peace plan, his little blue book. Can you just remind us about that?
Yes, the initial embryonic idea for what might be attempted in Cambodia was put forward by Congressman Stephen Solars in the United States, but Senator Evans, as foreign minister, then devoted a lot of time, effort and resources from Australia to taking this embryonic idea and carrying it through to something that was diplomatically marketable. And there were two informal meetings held in Jakarta with Australian support, which brought the Cambodian parties sufficiently together on a model of transition that these ideas could then be embodied in the Paris Accords of December 1991. And not only did Senator Evans throw his own weight behind the process, but he devoted the time of a number of key staff in the department to shuttle diplomacy to pursue this particular objective. And I think it's fair to say that without his initiative and energy, there simply wouldn't have been a process of the sort that Cambodia ultimately experienced.
And Australia did follow through. I mean, General John Sanderson was the leader of the UN, the UNTAC, the UN Transitional Authority. There was diplomats, NGOs, charities, election monitors like yourself. Is this the model that came together that's so important that lives today, international engagement, not just military intervention?
Yes. I think Cambodia was the first example of what some people have called complex peace operations, in which rather than peacekeepers simply keeping competence apart as a confidence-building measure, there was an effort to undertake more complex endeavours, such as democratisation, refugee repatriation, and the auspicing of reconstruction. However, the Cambodian case also exposes some limitations in the way in which one might attempt that kind of activity. And so if one's going to apply that model in other places, one needs to be attentive to the specific local circumstances and also be willing to carry through with a range of follow-up reinforcements. Because if a country has taken 20 or 30 years to get into difficulty, it's probably going to take an equivalent time to get it back on its feet. And one can't simply treat a free and fair election as an exit strategy.
And I'm sure that's one of the discussions you'll be having at this conference on Thursday and Friday, where you're bringing together some of the players then. But just sticking with Cambodia, finally, it still has a way to travel. There are national elections in July, but the opposition leader, Sam Rainsy, is briefly in Australia at the moment, can't return for fear of serving a prison sentence for politically motivated convictions. Does this delegitimise the July vote before it begins, do you think?
I think it's potentially a problem. Part of the difficulty in Cambodia was that Hun Sen from the Cambodian People's Party back in 1993 continued to have effective control over some of the key instrumentalities of power in the country. And when his party came a poor second in the 1993 election, he and his associates didn't take it kindly, and they subsequently used their coercive capacity to slice away at the opposition until finally there was a coup in 1997 and in effect the party that lost the 1993 Cambodian election ran the 1998 election and predictably won it. Now that was partly a design failure of the 1992-93 mission, but it also reflected the fact that just because you have a peace operation doesn't mean that you put an end to politics, which can continue to be highly competitive and even ferocious. Sure. In places which have experienced a lot of difficulty.
William Maley, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
My pleasure.
Professor William Maley, he was an election monitor in Cambodia 20 years ago. And on Friday night, many of the Australian soldiers, diplomats, aid workers who are involved with that peace mission, with those elections 20 years ago, are having a reunion fundraising dinner in Canberra. Gareth Evans is among the speakers. If you want details, CambodianPeaceWorkers.com to raise money for a number of charities linked with Cambodia.